We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Back, man, we're back like we never left. It's so good to be here. You know, I love the setup and I always love talking basketball, and I know you talk all sports, but it's always great coming here and talking basketball with you, bro.
Yeah, man, last time that I had you on, I got some good feedback and I really enjoyed that conversation. We did dive into like your background and your like playing overseas and whatnot, so definitely go check that out. But Combo's back, Combo's court in the building. I like how on time you were.
Oh yeah,
like to the exact minute. You're like, yeah, I'll be here 10:30. And then I get the text, yeah, I'm outside. I was like, God, this motherfucker, man. Look at him go.
That's half the battle, getting there on time. Yeah. The only time it's better to be late than early is off a screen. Remember that.
Okay. I like that. You got to make that a shirt, bro. You definitely got to make that a
shirt. That's a fact. Because sometimes, you know, some people come off too early off those screens and picks, and they don't let things develop. So you got to let it simmer when you're coming off that screen.
We're coming into the last couple of games. It's like a handful of games, maybe even less. It's like the last week home stretch of basketball. I think actually this Sunday might be the last game of the regular season, so it's even less. I think there's like one or two games left. I really dive into the NBA after football ends, but right. I do keep tabs. I got league pass and all that. I want to start off with the biggest headline, and it got to be the Lakers, right? Like, look.
What a disaster.
What a disaster. And you want to talk about a bad take that I had. I was re-listening to some of my predictions from the beginning of the year, and it was basically how I love the Russ move to the Lakers.
Ooh.
Mostly because I felt like it was a regular season move, right? You knew AD was going to miss some time because his whole career he misses time. And you know LeBron's getting up there in age, so maybe they rest him on a back-to-back or something along those lines. And then you could let Russ do his Oklahoma City Thunder stuff, right? Run the point. Get his triple doubles, get everyone involved. So I'm like, you know what? Those Wednesday nights in Cleveland or in Washington, yeah. Like they could get away with that, right? Talk about crashing and burning, man. What do you make of the Lakers from what you've seen all year? I mean, they're out the playoffs, which I don't think I've ever seen a team that was the preseason favorite from a betting standpoint not even make the playoffs, bro.
Yeah,
this is like a Mount Rushmore. Collapse, failure, does that, whatever you want to coin it, whatever word you want to throw, that's the kind of thing we're looking at with the Lakers.
Look, Russ, it wasn't a good fit. Yeah. I think all of NBA Twitter even talked about it. And NBA Twitter is wrong a lot, right? But they were right on this one. Everybody knew it was a bad fit. But it's all not Russ's fault, right? And I don't think it's all Frank Vogel's fault. It's not one person. But I would say a lot of this comes down to AD not coming into the season in shape. He's one of those stars that needs to be in shape because he's the vocal point of this offense along with LeBron James. And LeBron James always comes in shape, and he played great this season. I think AD needs to get it together in the off seasons, and that's where it all starts from. It's just been a bad fit. There's been injuries. They made really bad decisions in the past when it comes to roster construction, letting KCP go, letting Caruso go, guys that defend, guys that can hit the three, guys that are a little bit younger. They chased after names, and on roster, if you had all these guys in their prime, it might look a little bit different, but I think that's where a lot of the issues stem from.
Yeah, you're right. It all looks good on paper, but this also would have looked phenomenal 5 years ago.
Right.
Real quick, just move that mic just a little bit closer to you. Yeah, so it's weird, right? Like, you gave up a lot to bring Russ in. And I don't want to just point the blame all at Russ or Vogel. And I think the one thing you could kind of point blame at is the backup plan to AD being out. Because you just have to factor in this dude. Yo, he's had over 50 injuries, different injuries on injury reports. It's so crazy. Like, you just have to expect him to miss time. And they didn't really have anything behind him. And I also have a problem with one of the reasons why I don't like the teams like the Sixers, teams like the Wolves. I have a problem building my team with a big man being my go-to scorer.
I like the Wolves.
You do like the Wolves.
And as great as Cat is, I think Anthony Edwards is that guy. I talked about this, and we're going to get to the MVP conversation, but I think he's in that conversation by the year 2024, I would say.
Okay.
And I think you could build around him. And Cat being that number two guy who will be probably a top 10 player himself at that point. That's why I like that team so much. And Pat Bev is bringing them all that toughness as well. So I like that team a lot. The Sixers, that's a totally different issue. And that hasn't looked too good with the acquisition of Harden. But Embiid is obviously playing at an MVP level.
Now, we'll get to the Sixers in depth in just a sec. But I want to go back to the Lakers. And the reason why I even brought up that point is, I don't know, man. There's just something about, like, I want my wing to be my guy. You know, I always, the litmus test for me is the I call it the 5-5-5-5 deal, right? It's like, it's game five. It's a 2-2 series. You're on the road. 5 minutes left. You're down five. What's the five out there? Who's your go-to guy? Mm-hmm. And for me, I feel like you're a little limited if it's your big.
I would say so. I would say so in the modern NBA. You want flexibility. And to your point, that top five matters even more than depth, in my opinion. Mm. Like, you don't need 12 good guys in the playoffs.
Oh, I mean, you see it all the time. Yeah. You narrow it down to at most eight man rotations.
Exactly. As long as everybody stays healthy, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, you're absolutely right. That top five is so important, and it's even more important in than depth when it comes to the playoffs. So I totally agree with you there when it comes to that five. Yeah.
What do the Lakers do from here?
Oh, man. They got to...
Because there's not much you could do, too, because of the salary.
They're not flexible.
So everything you're going to get is guys on the veterans minimum. Cheap plug. You know, that's one of the reasons why we have the name as it is. But that's about it, right? And how many guys can you get that can make an impact to come in and take less money like that?
Here's something that's not being talked about as well as much. I don't think guys in the NBA really want to play with those heliocentric type players that always need the basketball, whether it may be Trey, whether it may be Luka, whether it may be LeBron. I think players, and I think the NBA is trending towards a league where we need all 12 guys on the same page, and maybe your star player blends in better with the rest of your team instead of being that total focal point, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I don't know if guys want to play with those guys, but those guys are so good at what they do, they give their team a chance as an offensive hub to win a championship. But as I said, I'm not sure that free agents really want to go there. But there is the lore of L.A., which everybody wants to live in L.A.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at them about that. So we'll see what develops.
I know, man. I was doing a show with my guy Joe Fan over in Vegas. And he was like, yo, how's the weather over in New York? I was like, bro, like two Fridays ago, it was like 70.
That was great.
And then we got snow on Tuesday.
I think I saw your boy Nick on that day. It was 70.
He told me that you guys looked up. You guys were like, hooping. But it's just, I mean, I can't blame anyone wanting to live in Miami or in L.A.
Not at all.
You mentioned about flowing with the team, and I agree with that because I also feel like the most successful teams that I've seen has always been the ones where, like, yeah, there's stars on it, but they kind of like the Spurs, right? Like, I mean, you had three, 100%. Four Hall of Famers.
100%.
I feel like Boston is like that.
They're getting better at that because their players were more isocentric, and I feel like they're doing a better job. Their defense has been phenomenal, a better job of being a little bit less isocentric, and because that was always their issue, man. Like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were just taking turns, and they're doing a lot better job of taking that spot up shot and playing together. You're right. And you mentioned the Spurs. Memphis is like Spurs 2.0, in my opinion, the way they're blending. And we're going to get to the awards because I think I got two guys who win the awards from the Memphis organization today. But they're just doing a great job of blending their star player with their role players and just getting high quality guys, high quality characters in the building, guys that work hard, guys that know what team means, you know, just like the Spurs did. I think they're Spurs 2.0. We got to see how they sustain it, but it's great to see their success.
Yeah, for sure. Memphis has been a revelation this year. I know they were a trendy pick for a team that could make some noise, but no one thought two seed. Like, they're locked into the two seed, which is a hell of a seed for them. All right, let's get into the awards. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. And I got to give you props, golf clap, to my guy Combo, because when I first had you on the show, I said, yo, it's a two-man race, I feel like, for MVP. And you're like, yo, not so fast, man. I don't have it as Durant or Curry. I was like, I think it's going to be Jokic.
It's a fact.
So let's open up with MVP. Where is your MVP vote going? And is it still the same?
Yeah, I got to stay with Jokic, man.
And I hate doing this. I'm agreeing with you on that because I think that's my MVP also. Why?
Why so? You tell me first, then
okay,
I'll go.
Okay, so for me, like, you, historically, outside of the Westbrook year, which everyone that knows me and my audience, they know that, like, Harden should have been MVP that year in 2017. Also, I was financially invested, so I'm a little salty to this day. But historically, you got to be a top three seed, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there's an exception this year with what Jokic has been able to do. And it's mainly because think about all the players in the league. If you take the two best players away from him, how bad their team would be, mm-hmm. right? Like, he had no Jamal Murray. He had Porter Jr. in the beginning, but then you haven't seen him in 3-4 months. And at no point were they a play-in team, right? Like, they were always in the 5-6 seed. And just night in, night out, he's getting production from guys that would not produce if it wasn't for him. And everything is on him. He's dropping these insane, like, 38, 15, and 14 games. He has a bad game, and it's like 28, 8, and 8. And people are like, oh, what happened to Jokic? You're like, what the hell? The bar's been set that high. And also coming into this year, he was the most disrespected MVP winner by sportsbooks I've ever seen. Because he had one MVP, but he was like, there was like 8 guys ahead of him. He was like 20-1. Usually you're a favorite.
Yeah.
And for what his usage is, what he means to that team, not having your two guys with you, the fact that you at no point were in the playing game and you kept them afloat and competitive, I think it gotta be Jokic. And that's not a slight to Embiid and to Giannis and all these guys.
That's a great point, because I think a lot of people, when they start talking about their MVP, they try and diminish what the others have
done. Bro, it's always that. And it's so frustrating in this line of work. What I've noticed is that exact point where it's like, yo, who's your MVP? Oh, I got Tatum, hypothetical. It'd be like, nah, man, you're crazy. Like, that. Right. Just because I pick one guy doesn't mean the other guys suck or they not have a good year.
Right. It doesn't mean that person is crazy either.
Eliminating them from being amazing. You know what I mean? But it's such a pet peeve. Yeah, but go on. My bad.
So, yeah, I mean, coming into the season, I thought Jokic was going to win it because, first of all, he proved he could do it already, even though there's something called voter fatigue. He looked like he was in even better shape from some of the videos I was watching, and that proved to be true. And then I thought he would just have the ball more because Jamal Murray wasn't there and because their team wasn't that good this year. And to that point, they just did more with less. He did more with less than some of those other MVPs, I think, even though they were great. And there's a lot of people in this MVP conversation. But if you look at the advanced numbers, he's having some of the greatest NBA seasons ever. I know we don't put everything into numbers, but man, he's just blowing people out of the water when it comes to the numbers. And he's still in my MVP, man.
Just a little bit under 27, 14, and 8, which nobody's ever done before. And he leads the NBA in just about every advanced metric there is. I'm not really that into advanced metrics and analytics, but it is fascinating and it gives you a different perspective. I'm a big eye test guy in all sports. It's just, for me, it's always been like my number one prime factor. And then when you look at the roster around him, that just, you know, these numbers defend my case. In our case, for Jokic being MVP. But, I mean, he's having a monster season. And voter fatigue, I don't think it applies so much to, like, Jokic as it does to Giannis. Because Giannis has won it twice also. And now Giannis is the shiny new toy last couple of years. He's the best player in the league. Just won a finals MVP. Or like, LeBron fatigue, right? Tom Brady fatigue to cross over to another sport. So, for Jokic, if he does go on and win it, which I think he does, I could see next year there being voter fatigue. Like, if Jokic ends up having 30, 15, and 13, and you're like, yo, he's the MVP, it'd be like, nah, we'll give it to Booker or we'll give it to someone else.
Yeah. I think another thing with him is that, to be honest, he's really not that marketable. So that could lead to even more voter fatigue. He doesn't have that intrigue like a Ja Morant, like an Anthony Edwards. These guys that have more personality than Jokic. I mean, Jokic is not even on social media. So I think that could hurt him in the long term when it comes to awards. But he's obviously such an impactful player and just one of the best players in the league. And I think he's had the best season so far.
Yeah, I would agree with you. What if you didn't pick Jokic, who would you go?
That's tough. I would go with Embiid.
Embiid?
Yeah. He's been great. I think there was a little time there where that Harden trade helped him, and then I think it slightly hurt him for a sec just with the adjustment and everything going on and them losing some games. But he's back on track now, and he's playing really well. So I'm not mad at anybody saying Embiid is his MVP or their MVP, but yeah, I'm going to stick with Jokic, man.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Jokic too. I think a guy who really closed the gap on them, he's not going to win it, but I would look at guys like Booker. Like, to me, it was just crazy that there was no one from the Suns in the discussion. Like, they just set a franchise record for wins, and they were clearly, they've been the most dominant team start to finish. And even when they have guys out, they've still been so solid. And I just feel like the fact that no one from the Suns was in the discussion.
Well, Devin Booker, I don't know if you've been paying attention to NBA Twitter lately, but Devin Booker has been getting a lot of praise.
Well, yeah.
And he's been in the conversation lately.
Right, I'm saying lately, but like in the middle of the season, no one was talking about anyone on the Suns, and they had like 40 wins before anyone had like 30 wins. They were really dominant.
So I think here's why that happens with the Suns. It's because it's hard to figure out who's the most valuable player of that team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Paul brings so much value, even though his stats might not be like Devin Booker's. But Devin Booker, in my opinion, is the best player on that team. And they also have such a great coach and such great role players and such a great system that I think that doesn't lend its hand for Booker to win MVP. But he's having an awesome season. There's been a lot of guys for buzz in the conversation, and I don't think they're legit. They don't have legit MVP cases. Like, DeMar had some buzz. Ja had some buzz. Devin's getting some buzz. But I really do think it comes down to Embiid and Jokic. And I'm not mad if you put Giannis in there as well. KD, in my opinion, is the best player in the world. But I think he missed too much time to win the award.
Well, that's the same thing with Ja Morant. And also with Ja, exactly. The fact that they're, like, what, 20-4 without him?
Yeah.
It also hurts you just a little bit. Like,
yeah.
if you're an MVP, like, if Jokic is out for 25 games, they probably go, like, 6-19. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the fact that Ja misses time and they're still just a buzzsaw, that's super impressive. And that kind of segues into who I think Coach of the Year should be.
Hmm.
Taylor Jenkins.
I agree with you.
And I think that's the biggest reason why. Like, you lose your superstar, he sits, and you're still just, that game that they played the Nets on, that ESPN game, was like a Wednesday night, I think, a couple weeks ago. And, you know, Desmond Bane just gunning, and Jared Jackson Jr., I think he might be, he's like in my starting five for like league pass guys. Like, I love watching him play.
Jared Jackson,
like, he's awesome.
He's great on defense, and he moves without the ball so well for a big man to be able to catch on movement and shoot threes like he does. It's amazing.
And they're locked into the two seed, 55 wins from Memphis. They shattered their win total in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I think they had the biggest, like, they covered it by the most amount of games. So for me, I think that's the biggest appeal to Taylor Jenkins being coach. Now, I know Monty probably ends up winning it. And I feel like he should have won it last year too, but exactly. It was the Knicks hype.
So they might give him it because they should have won it last year, you know? And I'm not mad at it. He deserves it. He's up there. I think Coach Spo is probably the best coach in the league, to be honest. But I don't think he'll win it this year. Just like how KD won't win MVP. Like, I think that's the best player, best coach, in my opinion. But you're right. I would go with Taylor Jenkins. And that's why I come in here. I know it doesn't make for good podcasting that we're agreeing on the first two awards, but we definitely do.
Yeah. I don't think he wins it, though.
Okay.
So
I think he does.
You think Taylor Jenkins does? I would say Monty, based off what you said too, where he should have won it last year.
Yeah.
So the fact that he has an even better season now, I feel like they give it to him.
Yeah. To your point with them playing that good without Ja Morant, Memphis, I think you almost have to give it to Coach Jenkins, even though Monty has been great.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, think about, like, Jokic, if Giannis is off the team, how bad they would be. they wouldn't be like Knicks bad, but they would still.
Who, the Nuggets?
I'm talking about just in general. Like, it's so fascinating that Ja Morant misses time.
Yeah, that and team would be bad. Like and to Embiid's point, the Sixers would be really bad for that first, you know, half of the season without him playing, you know.
Yeah, it would tough. Be it would be awful too. So we agree on Coach of the Year. Do you think, going back to MVP, do you think Jokic ends up winning it? Or is that your pick?
Both.
Both? Yeah, I'm the same way too. And then with Coach of the Year,
you think your pick is Jenkins, but you think Monty will win
Monty,
it.
Monty, yeah.
I think that sounds about right, but I think Taylor will win it, and I think he should win it. So I guess we differ a little bit on that, but not really.
Let's hear your take for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, this is my favorite one, man.
Okay,
who you got? This is my favorite one because it's the same kind of thing with the coach and MVP. I don't think the rookie that I have for Rookie of the Year will end up being the best player out of this draft class, but he is a guy that I was really high on before the season. I talked about him over and over again. He was in top five for a while, and then he snuck in that top five, and Raptors fans were upset. They drafted him.
Look, bro, look who I have for rookie.
Yeah, Scotty Barnes, man. Scotty Barnes.
Can I tell you my reason real quick?
Go ahead.
I know in the past and historically, Rookie of the Years in all sports, team success don't really matter as much. It's more so of the numbers that get you to win it. Like, I know Odell in football, he had like 1,400 yards with the Giants, but the Giants won like six games that year. But even in the NBA, like, you've seen guys win it and their teams don't make the playoffs. I think what he's meant to the Raptors, and he's playing like 35 minutes a game too. This isn't a guy that they're putting
out. He's a very good NBA player already.
Very solid right off the bat. You can trust him. He'll be there in crunch time. And he's done a lot for them, and I think he's a big reason for their success. So that's why I feel you the same way. Like, I would take Mobley over him.
Mm-mm, that's not who I'm going with.
So Scotty Barnes isn't your pick?
Oh, I thought you meant to be better overall. Oh,
yeah,
better.
Yeah.
Mobley I wouldn't go with Mobley.
Is it Green? I feel like you have a man crush on Green.
Nah. Cade Cunningham's going to be the best player to come out of this draft,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, Cade's had some big games too.
So why Scotty Barnes wins and why I would have him above Evan Mobley is because I think he has more impact on the offensive side, just like I think Cade has more impact on the offensive side than Mobley. But Mobley has had a great season and has a lot of impact on that winning team. I would have Scotty over Cade because Cade has no doubt been the best rookie in the second half of the season, but he did have somewhat of a slow start. Not really his fault. He had an injury, you know, which kind of slowed him down a little bit. But Scotty was good right out the gates. People thought his weakness was shooting, which has been spotty at times, but he's been showing that he's a willing shooter. He's obviously been already been a high-level defender, and he makes the right play over and over again, and the stats are there. Like, his stats match up with some of the other guys' stats. You know, you could give or take. Some guys, you know, might average a little more points. Some guys might average some more assists, but he's right there when it comes to the stats, and he's been a big part of a really good team. So just his consistency from beginning to end and him.
And on both sides, too.
And on both sides is the reason why I would have him as the Rookie of the Year.
So if you're into, like, these, like, rankings that NBA.com puts out, they have him third.
I know.
Behind Mobley and
Cade. I disagree. Yeah,
and then they also have a graphic that he's the first rookie since Luka and the 22nd rookie in NBA history to average 15, 7, and 3 in a season. Every rookie to do so over the last 10 years has won Rookie of the Year. Now, you factor in the team success also. I think it's Barnes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Barnes. He's been great. I was trying to tell everybody before the draft, this guy has to go top five. And I even said that Houston should take him at number two. And some people thought I was crazy, but I don't think it looks as crazy now. Even though Jalen Green's been coming on really strong too. He's been, you know, a bunch of 30-point games lately. So
yeah, see, that's who I thought you were going to pick because of...
Man, all these guys are really good.
Nah, yeah. They are, yeah. Yo, the last two classes have been pretty phenomenal, man.
Yeah, I think this class falls off a little bit.
Yeah, you think so? Class. How come? Yeah.
They just don't have the guys. Like, nobody's sparking my interest like a lot of these guys were last year. But obviously, I think, you know, Paolo, Chet, and Jabari are going to be good.
Oh, nah, man. I'm talking about the 2020 and 2021 class.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just saying that I don't think this upcoming draft
coming up. Okay, gotcha.
will be as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Chet, though. I think he should go number one, but I don't think they'll be as good as these two classes, you know. And then there's all these guys who are who weren't even in the top five, like Ayo Dosunmu and all kinds of guys that are, like, been really strong and playing really well as rookies.
And dude, even like second year guys, like Quickly, I think has been the lone, I would say him and RJ's emergence as a Knicks fan have been the two big bright spots. At least you're like, oh, you know, we've got some building blocks here to move forward.
Most definitely.
See what happens. All right, defensive player of the year. Don't say Rudy Gobert, please. Nah. I'm done with that, well, man. I'm done with the Jazz. I can't do it.
No, I'm not going with Rudy. I'm going to go with Marcus Smart, the best defensive player on the best team. I know some would argue that Robert Williams is the best defensive player on that team, but I'm going to go with Marcus Smart. Such a versatile defender. Could guard multiple positions. Just been great all around on defense this year. And I know all the advanced metrics, it kind of doesn't lend its hand to guards winning this award. But I don't really care about that too much because I don't think defensive metrics matter too much. Matter as much as they do on offense. And yeah, I'm going to go with Marcus, man. I know it's hard for a guard to win defensive player of the year because the way defense is that a big man is usually involved in every defensive play, anchoring the defense. But I'm going to go with a guard, and I'm going to go with Marcus Smart. And the Celtics overall have just been great defensively.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, I think, wins it. I'd say Bam.
You got a great chance.
So the my favorite thing about, like, the reason why I'm so off Rudy Gobert is I've just seen him completely just become a non-factor in so many big games. And when they draw him out, he's just not as versatile as, like, a guy like Bam is. And I think for me, like, if you're the best defender, I value, like, guys like Ben Simmons, right? I know we haven't seen him in a minute, but the guy that could switch on the guard and get the big, like, to me, that's, you just affect the game in so many different ways. And it's more impactful that way as opposed to being, like, how many back-to-the-basket centers do we have in the league, yeah, right? Not, so, like, Gobert, I think, is a little limited there.
Yeah. Gobert, he's, I mean, he's actually been really good defensively, but their team has been bad this year. And I think it's just fatigue with him, too. Like, nobody wants to see him win it.
Yeah. And also,
I don't, like, even want to see him win it anymore.
I just have the sour taste of just seeing him in playoff games.
Well, it is a regular season award, though.
You are absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I think narrative plays into a part where you do add the playoffs in a little bit of previous years, right? There is a little bit of that. Like, well, voters are human.
Right. And also, yeah. I think the big mistake that the NBA does is, like, the regular season ends on Sunday. Why not have an award show Wednesday and just give out these awards now? Why wait 2 months? I've been ranting about this shit for years.
It's true. You're right.
It's so dumb to wait until the conference finals and then Giannis gets bounced in the second round. He wins MVP and they're like, yo, he couldn't even get past the Heat. They lost in five. And then it sort of, it slights how great he was in the regular season.
Right.
Like, I agree NFL, with you. NFL does the same thing. They give the award out the day before the Super Bowl.
It has to be some reason when it comes to business that we're not privy to, maybe. I don't know what it is.
I'm sure it has to be because now even like the TNT guys, they do that award show also. And they'll have like rappers come and perform, like Drake did it 1 year and he was like the MC. So I get it. You create more buzz, but you could do the same thing by just doing it earlier too. Right. We're not telling you not to have an award show.
Right.
I just think it'd be cool to maybe you give guys a couple, you know, instead of starting the playoffs 3 days after the regular season ends, do it in 5 days. Give them some rest, you know, a bum ankle or something. And then you have your award show. I just feel like it would be more significant if you're like, all right, man, Jokic won MVP. Congratulations. As opposed to them playing in the first round, they play the Mavs, they get bounced, and then you're like, oh, was he really? Luka was the MVP. You know, he's dropping 40 a game. So that's.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you 100%. I think you're spot on with that point.
Yeah, I just, like, be better, NBA. Be better. all right, man, let's wrap up with this. Might be a hot take. I don't know. I want to hear what you think, but this might be the most competitive first round that I'm not going to say in history because I've only been following the NBA for like 15 years, but for as long as I've been around, I think it's going to be the most competitive first round because you have some.
I'm thinking about the Nets right now, right? You're thinking about the Nets.
Yeah, but even like your 3-6 matchups are going to be intriguing. Your 4-5s obviously always, but yeah, you have like the Nets, right? Mm-hmm. In the West, if Kawhi and Paul George, I know Paul George has been back, but like Kawhi, maybe, who knows? We don't know because he doesn't talk also, right? So we have no idea like what's good. But I just think the level of competition has been so, the balance has shifted. It's not so much like 2-3 teams. I think it's very competitive across the board. Now, I'm not saying that I still think it's only 2-3 teams that I could see winning the whole thing. But you might see more first round series go 6 or 7 games as opposed to the past where it's like sweeps and whatnot.
I think that's been like the common denominator throughout this whole conversation, that there's just more balance. There's more competition. Look how many guys we have in the MVP mix, you know, in the Coach of the Year award. We talked about like 5 rookies, right?
Yeah.
Just the NBA is so competitive now. I also think like the middle of the road NBA player is closer to the star player than ever before. I just think there's like a lot of really good NBA players. So yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's going to be like that for a while, like going forward. Like, I don't think the difference between the 1 and the A team is going to be as grand as it used to be. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And also think about this, right? Like, I know Atlanta's been bad all season and, you know, they're in the playing game, but they probably get the 8th seed. You're Miami. The Hawks just made the conference finals last year, and they still have a guy that could take over a game, and they got a lot of depth. So it's not going to be a cakewalk for Miami. I still pick them to win it, but I think it could be a little interesting. You know what I'm saying? And then obviously you got the 7th seed in the Nets, who, you know, only Milwaukee has better odds than them to win the East, despite them being the 7th seed.
So I do think there's more than 3 teams that could win it all, though.
Okay, tell me.
I think the Heat could win it all.
Okay, I agree. I think
the Nets can win it all. I think Sixers have an outside chance to win it all.
I completely disagree with you on the Sixers.
Okay. When you have Harden and Joel, you have a chance.
Do you? With Harden?
Well, Harden hasn't been playing well lately. But
we've just seen him in big moments.
No. He hasn't. Playoffs. He has not.
Oh, he hasn't. Yeah, so that's why I feel like, dude, I was such...
Well, let's go through the teams first.
Right. But I want to say on the Sixers point, because like I was, you know, I give out some betting advice and whatnot, and I bet the Heat and the Bucks to win the East. One of the two, right? And I like it so far because the path for both of those teams, potentially, it would be in the Eastern Conference Finals. So then I'd basically be cashing a ticket anyway, right? Like whoever wins it, wins the East.
Smart man.
And a lot of people hit me up and they're like, yo, what about the Sixers? It's like, dude, no one has lost more money on James Harden propositions and teams with the Rockets than I have.
Hey.
And there's been too many games where it's 3 of 18 from the field.
Bro.
There's 1 of 11 at halftime. And he just disappears in these playoff games. And I've seen a 10-year sample size of this. What makes this one any different?
You know, I used to always think that was just like narrative and people were talking a little bit about that a little bit too much. But when I saw that game versus the Nets this year, that was really concerning.
That was eye-opening.
I know it's a regular season game. I know it's one game. But, bro, that's your old team. As a basketball player, every basketball player knows me. If I'm playing against my old team, I'm trying to kill them.
Yeah.
And that Eye of the Tiger just wasn't there. Kyrie was pressuring him full court, flustering him. I mean, you got to do better than that.
We call that a soul-snatching performance by Kyrie. Because he's like picking him up full court. He's like, yo,
you're
fuck
too
that.
Skilled. You're too talented. Yeah. You're too good of an offensive player to look like that in a game that, yeah, it's not a playoff game, but that game meant
a lot.
The
intensity, though.
The intensity. Ben Simmons in the building. People booing him. You became the story. And Ben's supposed to be that story. Even him sitting on the side, you know? So that was really concerning, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, I used to think that was very narrative-based, but I'm with it now. I think that was bad, man. That wasn't a good look for James.
I don't have all the games in front of me, but there's been, remember that epic comeback the Rockets had against the Clippers where they were down like 30? He was on the bench for that, right? There's a game 6 at home against the Spurs. They lose by 40 at home with the Rockets. Like, there's just a lot of moments,
He was doing some weird stuff with Chris Paul where he was just hanging out at half court while they were playing 4-on-5. It was just a lot, like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. He seems to get in and out of shape at a level that doesn't even seem realistic.
Like during a season.
Like, one day he'll be, you know, in shape. Then 5 days later, I don't know, he looks like he gained 15 pounds. I don't know if it's the angles, you know?
Yo,
that the females, the females on IG like to do the angles, you know? And they could lose.
I know exactly what you mean about Harden, too, bro, because it's so weird. Like, when he was on the Nets, you're like, damn, yo, this guy's, you know, he's put on a couple LBs. And then he shows up on the Sixers, and he looks shredded. You're like, what just happened?
And now he's back?
Yeah, it's so weird, man. It's so weird with him. Carmelo was the same way, too.
Carmelo was the same way. But I don't think anybody has been as quick with it as James Harden. And then I'll go with Zion, number 2, fluctuating in and out of weight.
Zion is a whole...
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast on that, but we'll save that for another day.
Dynamic. But some of the matchups potentially, right?
Like, wait, but what? But we didn't figure out who are the teams that could actually win it all. So we agreed on more than three already, right?
Right.
Because we have the Suns, we have the Bucks, we have the Heat, we have the Nets.
Nets.
That's like what, four or five right there, right?
That's four. And you said Sixers, I disagreed with, which is okay, fair. Okay,
but PG is back with the Clippers, right? Kawhi could still come back.
Yeah.
Memphis. You never know, man. That's a lot of teams right there that you wouldn't be like super shocked if they won it all, right? It's more than three. You got to admit, it's more than three.
Yeah, I might have been capping by saying three.
Yeah.
But I think it's a...
But I think that's what's making this season great, you know?
How many teams would you say would shock you if they won?
Well, name a team and I'll tell you if they shock me.
The Bulls.
Yeah, super shocked. But also Lonzo's injured. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, and they also probably get Milwaukee in the first round.
Yeah, that would super shock me. I'm not going to lie. But those teams that I said, they wouldn't shock me. And also, you know, a lot of it is about who stays healthy. So you always know that's the key.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's always the case, yeah. It's not so much who's playing the best. It's who's available.
100%.
I've always felt that way, too.
You got to have that injury luck, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. And that's a real thing, too. But, like, I'm looking at it, right? Like, Miami might play the Hawks in the first round. Nets are going to play the Celtics. Like, the Celtics made this huge-ass run, and you're like,
yo. Hey, we didn't even mention them. That's another team you're not surprised by. I think we named, like, seven, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the Celtics, though. Well, I think it's because of the draw. Like, if they were playing the Bulls in the first round, I'd be like, you know, yeah, they could get past that. But against the Nets, I don't know, man.
You think?
Yeah.
You know what? I think that might be the most interesting series right there. Yeah. I think that might be the most interesting
rematch from last year in the first
because,
round.
Because, you know, the Nets do have the top-end talent there with Kyrie and KD, but Boston's team defense is just phenomenal. The key for the Nets is the offense is going to be there. What could they do defensively?
Yeah.
And Ben would help tremendously, even if he could come back at 90%,
but yo,
85%.
I don't think we see him.
I don't think they could win without him.
I know. That's why I'm a little hesitant about picking the Nets. If I knew first, we just don't know, right? Like the epidural shit honestly, came out too.
If Ben, because he's a great fit there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if he could be healthy, if he could be 90% of what he is, I think they have a great chance to win it all.
He's the plug for them. Like, he's the key for them. He was the big piece and why they even made that trade too. But I just don't feel like we see him.
You could be right. You could be right. Backs are tricky. But they're not letting out everything. Nobody knows as much as they know.
Well, that's
nobody knows as much as Ben knows.
I think that's why the Clippers are interesting too, because no one knows really about Kawhi. Like, they showed a video of Kawhi. He looked fine walking. Obviously, it's walking.
I heard he's been playing some basketball.
And he was like throwing up the peace signs, and he looked like he was in good spirits. I know it was a 13-second video, but...
Ty Lue, one of the best playoff coaches.
Mm-hmm.
PG-13... Another guy along with Drew Holiday, like, I think they're so underrated, like guys like him and Drew Holiday. And
another guy who kind of has these roller coaster playoff games.
Who, PG?
Yeah, man.
Nah. PG, nah, he was cooking last year.
I've dedicated an entire episode to Paul George because the year that he went to the Thunder.
For an all sports podcast to dedicate an entire episode to PG-13, that's interesting, man.
So I've always been a PG guy.
The guy has no weaknesses, first of all.
The year that he went to the Thunder, where he finished like third in MVP, I believe it was, I felt like he should have won MVP that year. And I've defended him a lot. Him, Harden, I've defended a ton, right? And PG also has those like 4 of 17 from the field, 11-point playoff games. And if you want to be an alpha like that and be
in Kawhi's
that
there though,
right? That's why the dynamic between him and Kawhi helps him. But still, he's your second guy. You can't have those kind of games. Remember last year, early on in the Bucks playoff run. You would have those like 12 of 48 from the field for Middleton and Drew. And then Giannis was doing his 35 and 18, whatever he was doing. And I would come on the show and be like, yo, just hit like 40% of your shots, you two combined, right? Like, let's not have 12 of 38, 15 of 53 from the field. Like, give us something manageable. And then you saw them starting to cook up together. And then that's when they end up winning.
Drew does so much,
right?
Outside of
and Paul George does the same thing
exactly,
too, but also
outside of offense. Like, Drew is on it on defense all the time. Honestly, he has all-star level impact, even though he's not an all-star. Like, he's better than some of those all-stars. He's a better basketball player than some of these all-stars. Right. You know,
Nah, I would agree with you. He's always been a guy who, like, I remember one time I made like a top, five list for point guards in the league, and someone asked me about Drew, and I was just like, he's like 16th, and they.
He's like more than a point guard though, because he could like guard every position, you know. Yeah,
the versatility too.
He could play 1, 2, 3 probably. So yeah, he's just a really good basketball player.
Yeah, and that trade that they made a couple years ago to bring him in, and they gave up all those first round picks. How do you feel about draft picks, bro? I've never asked you this. It's a thing where like I'm immediately gonna start judging you based on your answer, just so you know. But where do you stand when it comes to draft picks?
First of all, nobody knows. That's right. A big part of it.
Right.
Second of all, I probably don't put as much stock in them as other people would. Like, I like to see what the player is and then get that player. I'm not really into the idea of a player as much as others would be.
So we're in the same lane. Yeah. I never understood.
But you know, every team values them differently. That's the thing.
That's true too. Yeah. It also depends where you are as an organization, right? Like, are you in a complete rebuild? I get it. But for me, if I could get an established commodity, I could get an established player. 100%. I am giving you all my picks to get that, right?
Like 100%.
How many draft picks would you give up to get like a guy like Jokic and Giannis? You know what I'm saying?
You gotta
like,
understand that most guys who get drafted don't stay in the league after about 3-4 years, right? So
yeah, in all sports,
I don't have the exact stat with me, but
a third of the league, I can tell you in the NFL, because I've done another episode I've dedicated just to that. It's like the first round. Oh my God, we got 2 first round picks, yo, let's go, or whatever it might be. A third of the league is out of the league in 4 years. That's just historical data that you could look through.
Mm-hmm.
A third of the first round become solid 7 to 10 year career guys. You're not excited about them, but you're not angry. You're like, you know what, that right guard, I'm comfortable with it. We could win. And then you have a third of the first round picks that become your all pros, franchise mm-hmm. key guys. That's the history of the first round in the NFL. And then in the NBA, I'd have to go and look through it, but off the top, I would say it's probably very similar. How many lottery picks are like, bro, the process in Philly?
A lot of those guys became good though.
Right, but like Nerlens Noel didn't pan out as much as they thought.
Mikal Bridges is good, you know. Joel is obviously great. There's a lot more guys too. Yeah.
But Fultz they got rid of.
He's good.
He is good. But I'm saying like what Philly was doing, valuing the tank, right? Trust the process. One guy is left.
Yeah.
It's only Embiid.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is those guys are making an impact around the league, which is
they good. Are, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I'm talking about just the Sixers. And they traded some of those to open up room to get guys value. In. Right, absolutely, right? Like you That's traded Simmons
I
to get
I feel like
harder.
It did work for the Sixers because they've been in contention for a while now. Like only one team could win the championship, right? So in my opinion, the process worked.
Mm.
I know nobody's going to say it absolutely worked until they win a championship, but they're an interesting team in the NBA. They're contenders. They fill up the stands. I think people don't put enough value in that. Like, they think, you think there's 29 failing teams in the NBA because they didn't win a championship? Like, that's another thing.
Yo,
obviously, I'm a competitive person. I always want to win the championship, but that doesn't mean your team is a total disaster if they didn't win a championship. Like, they've had really good teams and they filled up the stands. So,
no, it's hard to win, yo.
Yeah. Like, it's one team.
It's
But it's funny how everybody is just gearing towards that. Either you're bottoming out and rebuilding towards a championship, or you're contending for a championship you never want to be in between, right? Like the Pacers. So it's just an interesting NBA. But hey, if you fill the stands, if it's making money, if there's interest in your team, it's not the end of the world either, right? You know.
I want everything that you just mentioned there. I want my team to be competitive. I want you to make a run. I want to be happy watching you.
Yes, yes. Box office stuff.
Yeah, have some stars. Like it's hard to win, bro. That's the one thing that has changed with me the most growing up in like this industry too, and like sports media and looking at it from a different perspective, not just fanboy shit. Yo, it's hard to win. You need all your players to stay healthy. You need 100%. Your organization to be right. It's difficult. It doesn't make you a failure if you don't win a ring. Obviously, you want that, but
yeah,
it's hard. I want you to be competitive. I don't want you to be a joke. Like, as a Giants fan, it's been a nightmare the last 5 years because they're not even fun to watch.
Yeah, that's when it gets bad.
If you're bad, at least be fun to watch. At least make me want to invest money to come see you. I don't even want to watch you. Bro, I would watch since I was 14 years old until this season. I watch every single Giants game twice. I watch it once on Sunday, and then I rewatch it on Tuesday or Wednesday. like in the whole game, straight through again, every single one. This year, I'm like, I can't do this. Yeah. You're not even enjoyable. Like, even if you lose, like, you know, lose by a field goal, make it competitive, but you're just no showing, just like getting thumped.
Yeah. Nah, I agree with you.
That to me is the making of a good team.
And the best part of the modern NBA, even these tanking teams are really fun. Like OKC is fun. The Rockets are super fun right now. I think the Magic, I cover them. I know they're really bad, but they have some fun players. I'm missing somebody here. There's one more tanking team that's fun, and it's kind of. But there's a few of them. There's a few of them that are like these teams have really.
I think the Pistons are interesting too.
Exactly. That's who I'm missing. Sadiq Bey, Cade Cunningham, Marvin Bagley's looking better. Hopefully Killian Hayes can improve on the offensive side, but they're a really fun team with Cade, man. Cade is going to be a very special player for a lot of years to come.
Yeah, man. I like where this conversation went because I always feel like with draft picks, it's kind of a polarizing topic. Like people are super – I have friends that are super – like, nah, I can't give up the number three pick. I'm like, yo, you wouldn't – before he got hurt, I was like, yo, you wouldn't give the number three pick up straight up for Klay Thompson? Are you kidding me? I was like, bro, what?
Klay Thompson, he's a –
this is prior.
He was in the conversation. Oh, okay.
This is prior to him getting hurt. I'm talking about just like on the surface, like yo, I would give up the number three pick for like Klay Thompson or Bradley Beal.
No team would even.
It was a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying because like I have friends that are super passionate about draft picks. They're like, no, the number three pick is untouchable. It's like, is it really?
It's not untouchable? For Klay Thompson.
For Klay Thompson prior to injuries or Bradley Beal, who if he goes on any other team,
it's rare that a number three. I wouldn't say rare. It's unlikely your number three pick will be as good as Klay Thompson.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We could probably go on and look at all the number three picks. How many of them are as good as Klay Thompson? I mean, Klay Thompson was in the mix to be top 75. Like, he was right there. Can't say he's not top 80 of all time. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but on that team, he does that. That's like a perfect mix. Like, I think they all helped each other, those guys, like Steph, Klay, and Draymond.
Well, if we go into super detail, you can make some comment. But I'm talking about like on the surface, right? Like,
no, you want Klay for any draft pick.
Because like you said, if you give up the third, if you draft someone in the third round and it turns out to be Klay Thompson, that's a franchise-altering selection.
Pick. If you take Klay Thompson at number one, that's a great pick.
So when the Pittsburgh Steelers many years ago, they gave up a first-round pick to Miami and they got Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was 24 years old, very good player. But he was on Miami, and they were doing a rebuild. And it's like, how does Pittsburgh give up a first-round pick? It's like, dude, if Pittsburgh, who always is picking in, like, the 20s, because they're a pretty good team, they make the playoffs pretty much every year. Tomlin has never had a losing season. But it's like, if you're telling me that the 19th pick overall, I could get a Minkah Fitzpatrick, would you be happy? Yeah, I would be happy. So why are you mad at Pittsburgh for trading a first-round pick to get that guy?
Right.
And it's also, you're not giving up, I'm not telling you to give up a first round pick for Russell Westbrook, who is 33 years old. He's on the decline, right? I'm talking about guys 25, 26 years old, entering their athletic prime, and they're all NBA caliber guys.
Right.
I agree with you. I'm giving up the draft pick, bro.
Yeah.
I'm giving it up.
Get those draft picks out of here. Nah, it could happen. I mean, obviously, you could always hit. I mean, but. It is an interesting conversation because every team does value them differently. And I don't think there's like a true consensus on how valuable those actually are. It's you know, a lot of numbers go into it and what kind of draft class is coming in, how you project that draft class to come in. I guess a lot goes into it, but I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. Dude, this was fun, man.
Oh, it was a blast, man. It's always great being here, talking in person. Yeah, man, I love the setup here. I love being on your show, and whenever you need me on, just hit me up. You know where to find me.
Yeah. All reliable and on time, too.
Come on, man.
Plug away, bro. Where can they find you?
Combos Court, wherever you listen to podcasts, CombosCourt. You can find me on Instagram at 12combo. That's ONETWOCOMBO. Twitter, Combos Court, same name as the podcast. And you can find me on the Veterans Minimum, man.
Let's go.
We're here, man.
We're out here. At Veterans Minimum is where you can find everything for the show. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/veteransminimum. You can get Monday's episode up now at the time that you're listening to this. And yeah, UFC, there's going to be a UFC pod up on Friday. Going to run through some of the betting picks. The boy is on fire.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've won like eight of the
in
last.
In UFC?
Yeah.
When are we having a watch party? I want to pull up. I mean, I might not be able to give as much insight when it comes to MMA, but I want to be here, man. Yeah.
Are you into MMA at all?
I like it, but I am not like always paying attention to it because I'm so, you know, I'm in my basketball world, but I enjoy it.
It's
I would love to go to a live one soon.
It'll change your outlook on the sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in person. There is not a better sporting event to go to in person. I say this all the time. The UFC should be paying me.
Interesting.
It's legit my number one. And I've been to Super Bowls. I've been to MSG playoff games that are intense. A pay-per-view UFC card.
Let's put that on our bucket list to go. I'll go with you, bro.
Yeah, man.
You
just got
to
figure it out. New York, we'll figure something out.
Definitely.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you guys next time.
Talk soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.